days dry with sunshine and highs in the mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Bill Murray on Tide 100.9.
It's 66 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
And not down again. That was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome into this Tuesday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, also known as a Christmas edition of the Miller's Edge. Obviously, we're a couple of days out from that, but we will not be on air for the rest of the week, the next three days. So I just wanted to go ahead and turn this into a Christmas edition. So hope you guys have some good plans for the holiday season. I know for some, you know, very exciting time, a great time. And then for others can be a little tough and a little stressful. So trust me, I understand both ends of it, but I hope you guys have something in place for yourselves and your families this holiday season. I hope you guys can survive a few days without us over here on Tide 100.9/our stream, because again, we will be off tomorrow through Friday, but then we'll be back rocking and rolling on Monday. Maybe we'll jump on the stream for a little bit, hang out with you guys one of those days. But most importantly, I want you guys to have a great holiday. Hope you guys have a great Christmas. And until then, we're going to rock and roll right here on this Talking Tuesday, like we always do. A little bit of an audible on today's show. Clint had something come up, so he's going to join us next week on next Tuesday's Talking Tuesday, which is totally fine. We'll have Slade still joining us. He'll be joining us at the top of the hour on the stream. We'll be talking about the game, Oklahoma game. We'll break that down some more with him. I want to say the offensive tape is up, so we'll be able to finally take a look at the offensive side of things. Yesterday, we hung out probably about an hour after the show concluded on the radio side of things and watched a lot of defensive tape, just kind of going over some stuff. But today, I think we'll lean a little bit more in the offensive direction. So hopefully that is updated. Let me just update my thing just real quick to see. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm praying it'll be there. If not, no worries. We're still going to talk about it with Slade. Plus, I want to talk with you guys, 205-342-9904. I'm sure you guys might be traveling a little bit today. If so, if you're tuning in, man, give us a call. We'd love to talk to you guys. I don't think we really hit the phones other than with Smitty yesterday. So we'd love to get y'all's reactions from the game this past week. And still plenty more to talk about, man. There's plenty to break down from that game. Plus, as you guys can see on the stream title, we will take an early preview at Indiana. Again, not too deep into it, but we'll probably pull up a little bit of tape, especially if we don't have the offensive tape from the Oklahoma matchup. Would love to look at Indiana a little bit early of a preview, just to kind of give you guys an idea on what to expect, what makes them a good football team. A lot of people hear that, hey, they're a really balanced team, a really solid football team, but would love to pull up the tape and show you guys what makes them a good group. That being said, let me remind you about our friends over at the Good Feet Store, because, you know, this holiday season, a lot of things to be grateful for. Definitely really grateful for all of our sponsors that helped put this whole thing on. Starting with the Good Feet Store, presenting sponsor. Make sure you guys check them out. If you're dealing with any type of pain, whether it's foot pain, knee pain, back pain, hip pain, you name it, make sure you guys stop by the Good Feet Store in Tuscaloosa. You can find them in Midtown Village right off of McFarland Boulevard. Very easy to do. Walk-ins are welcome, or you can always schedule an appointment. Just go to their website, goodfeet.com. Check them out. I promise you will not be disappointed, man. These things are game changers, whether you're on your feet, you're a nurse, teacher, walking your dogs all the time like me, man. Hey, it doesn't matter. These things will help you out. And I promise, man, just go on in there. They'll take care of you. Great customer service, which is big with me. I mean, they had foot massagers for me when I went in there. I just walked in there and checked them out, and they are phenomenal, man. So make sure you guys pay them a visit. Again, that is the Good Feet Store. Improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time. I see Ricky in the chat. Ricky, you're supposed to call in today, man. It's Talking Tuesday. We're wide open until the top of the hour with Slade. So if you guys want to jump on the phone lines, I urge you to do so in the first hour. That way, when we have Slade on here, we're not trying to play catch up at the end. So Ricky, others, I know you guys wanted to jump on yesterday. Now is your time to do so. Let me ask you this, Reed. Do you have any Christmas plans? I tell you, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to Reed. He's producing today. I think Chase is maybe back home, and it sounds like it might be Chase's birthday. So, Chase, if you're listening to the show, man, happy birthday. We, man, you got a big, I guess the past couple of weeks have been big for you, man. You got a lot of blessings, man. You graduated, and now you got a birthday. So, big shout out to Chase again, this time for his birthday. So, always really appreciate Chase and everything he does, man. One of the most solid people you can meet, and I hope he has a phenomenal day. If he's listening, if not, I'm still going to send him a text once we wrap up the show. But Reed, do you have any big plans this week with Christmas around?
I don't have any like crazy big plans. Like I said, it's just mainly just going to be around family. You know, I think that's the most important thing. You know, just to enjoy, like I said, the time off, be with family, eat some pretty solid food. You know, I don't know. I think that's maybe a discussion. I feel like some of the food at Thanksgiving is going to obviously be better. But, you know, I can't complain about Christmas food. But, yeah, once again, shout out to Chase just for the time that I've got to know him. He's been such a blessing. And big happy birthday to him and Merry Christmas to you, Christian.
Appreciate it, man. I appreciate that. All right. Oh, look, we got Q06 in here. He said he's on the way to Sweet Home, Alabama. See, I figured we'd have some listeners driving. So, number one, drive carefully. Good news is if you're listening via radio, you don't have to watch anything. But if you're watching the stream while driving, please drive carefully. But if you guys get some time, man, you want to call in, I'd love to hear from you guys. Because, again, it's the last time we'll get to talk with you this week. I know we got From in the chat saying, no, we need some content at least on Friday. Maybe we'll jump on Friday on a stream. But, again, radio, we will be off for the rest of the week. So, if you guys want to get any final thoughts in this week, make sure you guys do it today, whether it's on this show or any of the other shows. Today will be your last day until we pack up for vacation, and then we'll be back next week. Really diving straight into it, because what's today? Today's obviously the 23rd, but Monday would be, I mean, we're getting close to game day starting next week, so we'll get you guys you know, up to date for that. Rose Bowl will be coming up before you know it. I mean, think about it. We'll be celebrating Christmas. Next thing you know, it's about that time for the Rose Bowl. And there's a lot. When you look at this matchup, Reed, I mean, there's a lot of interesting, I guess, I mean, it's kind of tough. I mean, because really, this is probably going to be the best team. Not probably, this is the best team we would have seen all season long. You're facing the Heisman Trophy winner. A lot of history with some of these coaches, right, with both schools. I mean, there's a lot of storylines. A lot of players on this team from California going out and playing in California, which I'll be honest, Reed, if I'm being completely honest with you, man, I don't know how I feel about us playing in California. I know a lot of people get excited when they see the Rose Bowl because of the history of the bowl itself. But I feel like anytime us, like as a school, as a program, Alabama has played in California, hadn't always been like the best, right? I mean, I'm thinking back to my time in California where we got our ass whipped by Clemson in my senior year, right? I'm thinking back to even as, you know, as recent as just a couple of years ago, we played in the Rose Bowl. And barely lost to Michigan, right? I mean, I just feel like California is an interesting place, man. I don't know if it's just because of the distractions or whatever, but to me, man, I don't know. And then I'll ask our listeners, Reed, I mean, I'll ask you this as well. I know you're a little young, you know, like myself. So, I mean, are there any positive memories that we can think of out in California? I'm sure there is. I know there are. But I'm saying, like, off the top of your head, I mean, I just feel like the last few times we played in California hadn't always really been great. Saban's first natty at Bama was at the Rose Bowl. There you go. So that's a very positive one.
Yeah.
Outside of that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to mention was, you know, Saban's first natty. But really, yeah. Christian, the only positive that I could think of, and it's not necessarily the fact of, you know, just the history of it, but it's the fact that we're playing an Indiana team who I don't know the exact miles, but their travel, I would think, is pretty similar to ours, I would think. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's like there's – like the whole Norman, Oklahoma, it's not going to be mostly filled with Sooner fans, you know. So I think that it's going to be an actual neutral site, which I feel like is going to be in favor of Alabama.
Yeah. And I don't know if I mean, Tide fans are definitely going to travel, especially for a game like the Rose Bowl, California. I definitely feel like it will be well-traveled. But you can best believe Indiana fans are going to travel, too. I mean, we're talking about Indiana. They're the number one seed right now. They got the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. They're going to ride all the success that they have right now. So I think it's going to be a very evenly distributed stadium. But you're right. Both teams do have a long ways to go. I threw this on the screen real quick, and we'll dive more into this. But I know we're about to go to the phone lines here early. And shout out to Clint Lamb over at Cover Crimson. We can't have him on the show today, but we will borrow this nice graphic that he made and is posted on their Twitter page. Check them out at Cover Crimson. But this is kind of comparing the matchup, breaking down some of these key numbers. And as you can see, and I understand, yes, Indiana's in the Big Ten. I know our schedule is a lot more difficult. But just if you look at the numbers itself, trust me, we'll dive into the tape. We got plenty of time to do so. But you're talking about a team that's averaging nearly 42 points a game and only giving up just under 11 points a game. 473, close to it at least, 47 472.8. I cannot speak today. Yards a game and only allowing 257. We do have them in terms of passing yards and passing yards allowed. Other than that, they pretty much beat us in every category except strength of schedule, which we come in at 6 and they come in at 28. Actually, technically, 10 turnovers lost. Yeah, they got us there too. And damn, they outgained us too. I'm shocked on that. I'll be honest. I mean, we pride ourselves in being one of the best, you know, turnover teams in college football. We got 25. So anyway, this is an early little look at some of these numbers, but it just kind of goes to show you why there's such a, I should say, respected, maybe not by everybody, but when people turn on the tape and they see them, they're a good football team. And we'll talk a little bit more about that here in a minute. But first, we got to hit a timeout, stay on schedule when we come back. We'll go to the phone lines. We got Tommy and Ricky lined up. Again, if you guys want to jump on, get on the phone lines, hour number one, because we got Slate at the top of the hour. And you guys know we like to talk and we like to break down tape. So we'll do both of those things at the top of the hour with former Alabama wide receiver Slade Bolden. But first, when we come back, we'll go to the phone lines. We'll talk with you guys, talk a little bit about this matchup, dive back into last game a little bit more, and keep on rolling on this Christmas edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC, presented by the Good Feet Store. America.
Season yet. Step into the holidays. Check off everything on your list and save big on your last minute gifts. Only at Target. Restrictions apply.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Christmas edition, Talking Tuesday edition, whichever one you prefer, or both, of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. Swore I could not talk that first segment, so I grabbed my body armor, and hopefully we're ready to rock and roll. I know that's not an advertisement. I wish it was. I drink these things so much. They need to send me a case or two. That being said, let's jump to the phone lines, Talking Tuesday edition. I'd love to talk with you guys. 205-342-9904. We'll talk with former Alabama wide receiver Slade Bolden at the top of the hour, so make sure you guys are ready for that. He will join the stream, so if you guys want to watch that, you know the drill. At the Miller's Edge on YouTube. Come hang out, and you guys can watch us do the show. And if not, hang out on Tide 100.9. That app is free to download. Make sure you guys download. You can listen to all the shows right there on the app. And, yeah, also leave app messages, which we still get to. All right, first up, we got our buddy Tommy. Tommy, welcome in.
Hey, Kristen, how are you? Merry Christmas.
Hey, Tommy, Merry Christmas. I'm great, man. How are you?
I'm good. Can't complain.
Good deal.
How's your dad? I haven't heard him on the show in a while. I've been busy running errands. I just will wish him a Merry Christmas to you. You can tell that for me. I haven't forgotten him.
Yeah, no. Yeah. If anything, I think he forgot us. But yeah, no, I'll make sure I'll tell him you wish him a Merry Christmas.
He's a busy man. I miss him. I know a lot of people don't, but I do, because he knew the game of football. And it seemed like lately some of these other shows are getting to be a drama queen program. So we won't talk. Yeah. I made a mistake last week. I did something terrible. I picked Oklahoma.
I mean, you have every right to do what you want to do. I don't see. I mean, why? I mean, listen.
Let me tell you real quick,
Tommy. Don't you feel bad about it? I know you're an Alabama fan. You're supposed to always pick Alabama, but you know, listen. You weren't the only person. I mean, there was probably 80% of the national media doing the same thing. So I get it. You're an Alabama fan, so you probably, people are upset you maybe went the other way. But I respect you for at least having your own opinion and not just, you know, say, no, well, I'm going to do this only because, you know.
Well, no, I just felt like we was out of the gas. We were beat up, and it just didn't seem like nothing good was coming out from Alabama. We heard injury. I told to leave, and they won't be that. He was going to Penn State. Now he's going to Michigan. Probably another week when they start firing all the coaches on Monday in the NFL, he'll be late. And I'm trying to tell people not to listen to the noise. And I got criticized. I said, you know what? I'm going to pick Oklahoma. Oh, man. I got this cell phone. February. Listen, I'm telling the truth. And people say, well, you're whining now. No, I'm just saying like it is. I'm saying in a calm thing because I like to talk to them, but they can kiss my you know what. But don't call me a fair weather fan.
Well, no, listen, hold on. First of all, again, I would never do that to anybody because, again, I respect people when they go with what they feel or they say what they feel. Because, I mean, listen, I mean, to me, I'd rather you be honest and be true to what you think and what you believe than you just follow a crowd. That said, I mean, listen, there was a lot of reasons to, feel like Oklahoma had a good shot in that game. I mean, think about it. We had to travel on the road to play them, right? They have a really good defense, right? There's just a number of things. I mean, Alabama's offense, like, let's just call a spade a spade. We had not played good football offensively in over four or five games. You know, like, even, like, when I heard some, like, the guys, like, man, you guys wrote us off. Like, to be fair, there's reasons to have questions about this offense on the road in a playoff matchup against an Oklahoma defense is really good after the showing we just had in the SEC championship game. I mean, those are fair. Those are fair points. I'm not going to argue with anybody about that. I mean, you know what I mean? Like that's just breaking down what you're seeing. Now, we know the potential that Alabama has, and when Alabama plays their ball, which we saw in the second half of that game, they can play with anybody, and they are a better football team overall than Oklahoma, right? But we hadn't seen that version of Alabama in a month. So to me, I think it's okay if somebody recognized that. To me, that's just you calling it how you see it. I don't have a problem with that.
Well, I like to study the game, man. I just felt like we're not playing our best the last 3 or 4 weeks. I just had a gut feeling. Okay, my gut was wrong. Am I happy? We won? Oh, yeah. I mean, I got text after the first quarter on my phone. You know, I got the phone to say, well, everybody used to make fun that I was left out. I didn't have Wi-Fi. I got the phone. I texted somebody and said, you know what? I sent a bad one. You did it. Don't get on me. I'm not ready to throw this, you know what, in the river because, you know, are you happy now? You're going to win on your pick. I went, no, I'm not happy. I want the team to win. I just had a gut feeling. I just went with my gut. And I'm just like, I was taught, and your father was taught this, brother. I hope you were taught this playing football. You show your class, not your ass. All right? Sorry, as I said about it. All right. Your father will understand where I'm coming from. All right.
Like I said, Tom, you don't ever need to feel bad about that. At least on the, listen, you guys are always safe on this show. I mean, whatever you guys feel. If you guys think we're playing great, think we're playing bad, you guys think we're going to win, we're going to lose. To me, I think that's what sports radio should be about. It should be about different, you know, views, perspectives, and ultimately opinions, right? So, yeah, you're good, brother. You ain't got to worry about that over here. Listen, we're not going to jump you forever. Listen, our producers both picked Georgia in the SEC championship game, and they ended up being right, right? And I even hinted at, like, me personally, I try to take Coach Saban's approach, even when I'm kind of going, like, just like I think he mentioned, like, there's going to be times, even as a head coach, you don't really necessarily think your team's going to win, but you have the faith. Yeah, I mean, I try to always pick Alabama because I'm a former player, and I mean, I try to, you know, stick with it. But trust me, there's been a number of times, like the Oklahoma game when we ended up losing. I said, like, I was going to pick Alabama, but I'm not talking about the first time we played them. You know what I mean? Like, again, that's just being honest. You know, nothing wrong with that.
Or say, like, your friend who's a running back. And I just went blank on his name. You play with
Damien. That's okay. Now Damien takes it. Well, I mean, like 10 steps far. You know what I mean? Like, and what's crazy is we broke some of this stuff down. So there's a little bit of truth in what he says, but then he just goes to the max and to the extreme. And I'm like, all right, brother, I got to get off that bus, man. Can't
I
ride
understand
that, way.
That, but he had an opinion and he felt that way for some reason. And he knows the game, and he played the game, and he invested. He's not they leave here, they become anti-Alabama. No, y'all do not. Y'all just know the game better. And that's why I enjoy your show, and I really hate to say this. I miss you, Dad. I mean, he really. So, you know, I'm not saying nothing bad about you. You do a good job. I've enjoyed the guys on top of the hour. I mean, breaking down the game thing from a receiver, offensive ball. I'm learning football. Not what I want. I mean, Ty, this is my hobby. But it's just like, I'm like, my brother looked at me and said, how many texts you got? I told him the other night, Friday night, I got 30 texts. And 29 was like, help me. Alabama
yeah,
fan.
Don't worry about that, brother. We got you, man. Like I said, man, I'll be honest. I could care less if you pick us or against us, man. I mean, that's what makes this place great, man. You're entitled to your own opinion and free speech. So, nah, you're good, brother. Okay. All good. Like I said, man, we don't go off of emotions on this show. We go off of facts and just kind of how we feel.
But
I guess how we feel
I'm
would be
concerned
emotions.
About so the offense. I want the offense to do better. I mean, I want the offense to do better. I see the point. I know you got other callers like that, and man, I hope they have a Merry Christmas. Give me
absolutely.
The best.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'll pass that along, man. I appreciate that, Tommy. You have a great one as well, brother.
All right, man. Take care. Roll Tide.
Yes, sir. Roll Tide. Good deal. Hey, real quick. It looks like Gary sent us in some info. Big shout out to Gary and the Gary Harris Show. He says, 1977, Alabama beat number one USC at the LA Coliseum. 71, debuted the Wishbone with a 17-10 season opening upset victory over USC on a Friday night. Two huge wins. So I knew there was definitely some more history there, but a little more recent history, man. I can't help but think, man, I'm not a big fan of playing out in California, but I guess I'm biased because of my own experience. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We go back to the phone lines. We got Ricky up next. We got Robbie. We got Raggy. We'll, a whole bunch of R's, man. We'll get to all those R's when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9 at 1230 WCBC.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world. We're here for the rookies and the dreamers trying to make a name for themselves. We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer. We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back into this Christmas edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. All right, let's go back to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We got a little bit of Indiana Tate rolling, but we're talking with you guys. We got Ricky up next. Ricky, welcome in.
What's going on, man?
Man, I can't complain, man. Just getting ready for a little holiday season. How about yourself? How's everything, Ricky?
I'm in Pasadena right now trying to talk to some guys I know work in the field to see if I can get on the field come January 1st.
Yeah, I mean, brother, damn, you're getting to work early, bro. Well, how far do you stay from there? Because you live out that way.
So I live in Woodman Hill. So Pasadena, without traffic, probably like 35 minutes. With traffic, that it could easily be like an hour and a half. Like, because California is not that anything is like far. It's just like, it's the traffic, man. Like, so like 4 miles. To get somewhere 4 miles could easily be like 40 minutes, depending like where you are.
Yeah, that's why I could never live out that way, bro. Couldn't do it.
Man, you got an unhealthy fear of like playing in California. Like, historically speaking, man, we do really good in SoCal.
Well, fill me in. I mean, damn, that's why I asked. I said, tell me. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm saying like the last couple times, man, I just feel like I don't know. And it's probably, bias because, I mean, it did not go well for me when I went out there.
So we played in California from my, because when I got to campus in Alabama, like somebody was talking to me about it. We went to Alabama. We went to LA, I think 6 times. If you don't include the 2009 championship game, if you don't include that, we're 5-2. And we easily could have, I think we easily could have beat Michigan if a certain player that people hold such high. I'm just saying.
Listen, yes, that was a big play, but I mean, we also, as an offensive line, gave up, I mean, what felt like 4 sacks in the first 2 or 3 series. So, I mean, to be fair, he wasn't the only contributor, but yeah, that was a very crucial mental error.
The game was over. All we needed was one stop. 4 put us in position to win, but I let that go. I can live with that. So,
yeah,
I
guess my...
Well, hey, first of all, I'm not trying to hear what Tommy said. I ain't never thought Oklahoma was better than Alabama. Like, I even, like...
Hold on. Don't twist words now. He didn't say that he thought Oklahoma was better. He just said he picked Oklahoma in this game. That's not saying they're better. I think we all can agree when Alabama plays their A game, when they play, like, the way they should play, they're a better football team pound for pound than Oklahoma, because our defense, was a little bit of a struggling unit the first game or so. Not, I don't even think really the second one too much, but the first few games, we weren't as good as we're playing right now. This defense has come such a long way that we now have we tout a defense as statistically right up there with the Oklahomas. You know what I mean? A couple categories were a little bit behind, but still really good unit. And offensively, we've been a much better offense than Oklahoma's offense, but you can't deny that we have not looked good offensively, the last 4 or 5 games. That's just a fact. If anybody disagrees with that, man, you're choosing not to be honest with yourself.
We didn't play to the best of our abilities, but can we give Oklahoma and Georgia credit for having like an outstanding defense versus like, Alabama just played like straight up bad.
Ricky, I'm going back to... So, listen, South Carolina, we did not look good offensively, right? And I understand they had a good defense, right?
No, I LSU,
we did not look great either. Ricky, we didn't even look good offensively against Eastern Illinois, our first team. Our first team unit played bad against Eastern Illinois. Don't let that score fool you. If you go back and watch the tape, our offense did not perform great, the first team. They didn't look great against Eastern Illinois.
You're still figuring stuff out, like...
Still figure stuff out in week what? Week 10, 11, or whatever? What, Ricky, come on, man. Ricky, you know how we do on this show. We're honest, Ricky. We're honest. There's nothing wrong with being honest about it, Ricky.
That's my bad. I got it mixed up with Wisconsin. That's my bad. I'll give you that.
Yeah, no, I'm to Eastern Illinois. Come on. There's not figuring anything out, Ricky. The fact was we regressed. Offensively, we regressed. But I don't care what anybody wants to say. Listen, I'm going to be completely honest with you. We went from having, again, if you go back, let me just pull up the schedule so I make sure I get these games in line. Going on the road and playing against Georgia, we looked good at first half, second half. They made some adjustments. I'm still going to sum that up as our offense was playing solid at that point because Georgia did have a good defense and they're really well coached. And you knew that they were going to, you know, make some adjustments and play a better second half. So you got that game. Missouri, we were solid. Let's go through this, right? So Florida State, chalk that up. That was just a terrible game. It is what it is. UL right. Monroe, Wisconsin, Georgia, Vanderbilt, Missouri. Like, even Tennessee we played well. Beat them 37-20. After that, right, my dad's birthday, 25th, we played South Carolina. And remember, we went through that stretch, and everybody was talking about, oh, it could be a trap game in South Carolina. We're fatigued. Okay, so that was when stuff started going downhill a little bit. Oh, can we all agree on that? Around South Carolina time. That was, I don't know what game with that. I don't know, week 8 or something like that?
Let me ask you, since you actually played, like, how does your body feel going into, like, week 8 and, like,
Ricky, how does everybody's feel? Everybody's body. Ricky, Georgia's body hurts. Ricky, LSU body, Eastern Illinois body hurts, and they play in the trash. Ricky, everybody right, hurts. Ricky, come on, Ricky. Ricky, we got to stop with the excuses, man. Listen, Ricky, we did not play good offensive football the last half of the season. That's just a fact. There's nothing wrong with admitting that. Ricky.
Come on, Ricky, just admit it.
Listen, the good news is we're catching some momentum at the right time. That's what matters. But you know how we do on the show, Ricky. We go off of tape. I understand I'm a former player. I'm not going to go nearly to the depths that Damian goes. That's my guy, but he goes away. No, but I am going to be honest. I'm not going to be biased. I'm going to pick Alabama because, that's my team, and I do Coach Saban's method. But even Coach Saban will sit his ass on game day and then sit there and say, we don't have pass rush. We aren't moving the ball effectively. He even said we got out-physicaled against Georgia. He is even honest with it, Ricky. That's what I'm saying. I mean, like, there's nothing wrong with being honest. Our offense has not looked good in 4 or 5 games prior to Oklahoma, let alone the last time we played. You just said, hear this, Ricky. You just said Oklahoma and Georgia's defense, both being elite defense. You called them both elite. The last game we played in the SEC championship against an elite defense, look how our offense looked. So all I'm saying is you can't be mad at people, whether a Bama fan or not, if they looked at this matchup and said, hey, man, I have concerns about a struggling Alabama offense going on the road to Norman, Oklahoma, against a defense that got after our ass the first time we played them this season, not to mention the last 2 times, and just saying, hey, they have some concerns. That is completely fair. If you didn't have concerns, I don't think you understand football. Not you, I'm saying in general.
No. I mean, like, I had concerns, but, like, there wasn't, like, a... It was more so like how I felt when we played OU the first time. Like, nothing. There was nothing that I see from Oklahoma where I thought to myself, like, I don't know. Like, I just feel like Oklahoma can take it. Like, especially the way we played, like watching that game back, I thought offense did great. Like, obviously, we just lost a turnover battle. But I thought we easily we still only lost by like 2 points. Like I thought, like, one thing goes right, even though we played as bad as we did, we still win that game.
Ricky, we also were at home. So adding to the equation of going on the road and the challenges of an offense to go play on the road. Did you not see the first quarter? If we didn't have some things go our way in this last game. Just like you're talking about for them, if some things didn't, like, we got blessed with that, the punter dropping the football. We got blessed that we showed that play where Mateer, that dude dropped that open touchdown. We were down 10 points at that point in the game. When 24 dropped that touchdown pass, Ricky, if he catches that ball, we're back to being down 17 points. But you see what I'm saying? Like,
kind of. No, but would you say we kind of like? It was different because I didn't, even though we didn't play great like that first quarter and a half, I didn't think we gave Oklahoma, like, at least offensively, I don't think we gave Oklahoma anything. We just couldn't convert. The first game, like, we were just.
But why couldn't we convert, though, Ricky? They were on our tail the whole first quarter. Ricky, we had 12 total yards. I mean, that wasn't just like, oh, we just weren't doing, like, Ricky, they were playing good football. Now, granted, they're riding the whole bunch of momentum. Listen, all I'm saying is this. In my opinion, at least, I think we can agree on this. Alabama is a better football team than Oklahoma, top to bottom. I think, like, we can agree on that. All I'm saying is, for people to get mad at someone for saying, hey, man, I have concerns about this team whose offense has struggled now for 5 straight weeks, pretty much, going on the road and facing an elite defense. Who, yes, you know, yes, we did have success moving the ball at first game. But if you go back and watch the tape, it's not like we were just effortlessly moving the ball. I mean, we had a couple busts on Oklahoma's part, right? That set up big plays. Like Quavis, I think he had that like delayed screen. They had a bust on that. We hit some 81 on that wheel route. There was a bust on that. And then don't forget, I mean, they also forced 2 more turnovers that didn't count. They forced the fumble on Daniel Hill, the play before the pick six that went out of bounds, so we ended up getting the first down. And then Ty threw another pick in the end zone that got called back because 5 got too handsy and he didn't need to. The safety read the whole thing. Safety would pick the ball off anyways. So I'm just saying, I mean, like, I wouldn't make it seem like, oh, they didn't do anything the first time around. We just happened to get a couple of turnovers because they forced those turnovers. I mean, you've seen it on the tape. We've showed it, Ricky. Come on, man.
I'll
just be honest with you. If Oklahoma had a better offense, they'd be a much better team. They'd be a much better football team, but they don't. And honestly, they actually played one of their better offensive games this last game, but those mistakes, this time they had costly mistakes, which we attributed, like the pick six was like, we attributed that.
You just flipped the script.
Right.
Essentially, but the script.
But yeah, but you still have to have some things going your way, like that punter dropping the ball. Like, that was nothing we did. That was a mistake. Like, to me, like, when people say, like, oh, we made a mistake and we get, that's giving somebody something. We didn't affect that. The pick six, we affected. You know what I'm saying? There's always a difference.
I thought we got off, well, not on that block punt, but I thought we got after John McTier pretty good.
I'm talking about turnovers, right? Just like in the first game, people made it seem like, oh, well, if Alabama just doesn't get like have those turnovers, I'm like, yeah, that's easier said than done, though, because Oklahoma, they punched the football out. That's forced. They disguised well. They ran a simulator. There was pressure in his face. He made a bad throw on that pick six. That's forced. And then what was the other one that actually counted? I feel like what was the third one? Was it a strip sack? Strip sack. Yeah, there's a strip sack. Sorry. That's forced.
Oh, right. Yeah.
They beat the right tackle. That's forced.
Man, listen, Tommy, if you're listening, nobody's mad at you, dog. It's just Roll Tide. That's all I'm saying. You feel my guy.
Tommy's good people. Tommy just tries to just call it down the middle. And there's not, and listen, again, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, people can be like, oh man, Tommy, why'd you do us like that? That's cool, whatever. That's friendly. But like people texting him all harsh like that, that's doing too much.
Man, Tommy, my guy. I got one more question for you because I know you got other people on the call. You got Slade coming up. How much Big Ten football like do you actually like watch? Like I know you cover Alabama a lot, probably South Carolina too. Like, how much like Big Ten football like have you actually like watched this year?
Not a whole bunch. You know, I've watched some of the bigger games, the Ohio States, a couple Indiana games, but not consistently like I do SEC football. I'll be the first one to tell you. That's why we got the tape pulled up. So I
will say, like, Indiana, like, for, like, a couple years now, like, I usually would be like, these teams haven't really played anybody. I think Indiana from, like, top down looks really good, regardless of, like, their schedule. I did think they faced like a bit of adversity against Penn State. I don't really know what that performance was like, because I thought Penn State at that point was so bad. Like, James Franklin was gone at that point. Like, I didn't think they had the slightest chance. And then, like, the game was, like, super close. But that's, like, the only adversity, like, I saw that Indiana went through. If Alabama punches Indiana in the mouth going into the Rose Bowl, which I don't know if we will, because we, like, besides the Georgia game, we've kind of started off slow for a lot of the season. Like, how do you kind of see that game, like, playing out? Like, if we come out swinging, like, do you think, like, Indiana has, like, the resolve to, like, fight back or anything like that? Like, what do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's why I think this is, without a doubt, the biggest challenge yet. I mean, you're talking about elite defenses. I mean, they have a really good defense. I understand they hadn't played the same level of competition, but don't get it twisted. I mean, this team forced a lot of negative plays. They do a lot of exotic stuff on the back end. They have a really good defense. And then to go with that, they have an offense that is beyond capable. I mean, let alone, I mean, the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. But don't even get fooled by that. I mean, they average 220 rushing yards a game. And 250 passing yards, a total of like 400-something yards a game. Again, I understand the level of competition is a little bit different, but when you talk about a team being balanced, not only balanced offensively, but also balanced top to bottom in terms of even the defensive side of things, they can get stops. I mean, I watched this Big Ten championship game in live action. There's a couple times you're wondering, like, hey, all right, what are they going to do here? Mendoza steps up and makes a big throw. I mean, this is the type of team you're playing. So, I mean, without a doubt, it's going to have to be a 60-minute ball game. And you're talking about getting punched in the mouth. At least we show that we have the resolve to be able to fight back being down 17 to nothing. That's got to leave you with a lot of confidence. However, you know, those plays from Oklahoma this past weekend, they've got to carry over. Those catches, those acrobatic catches, those, hey, big moments we need, those fourth down conversions. These types of games, when you're playing good football teams, you got to have some of those fall in your favor. We hadn't had that in weeks. Luckily, we did against Oklahoma. If we didn't, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Like, just think about it. If we didn't have those receivers step up the way they did and have Ty kind of have that resurgence, settle down, and be able to hit on some of those throws, probably a whole different outcome. The good news is it wasn't like that was the first time we did it all season. We did it earlier in the year. We just hadn't seen it for a while. And so I think it's going to be one of those games where you have to have that. Like, you've got to be able to, you got to take advantage of every opportunity that you have, and you can't afford to have those costly mistakes that we've seen over the last few games or so before Oklahoma. We protected the football really well this past weekend, but it's got to be like that, because a team like Indiana, man, the margin of error is probably going to be much thinner than it has been. And to me, again, I think they're easily, and there's only a few teams that I feel like this is right now, but like complete in terms of a solid offense that's capable and also really good defense. And if you guys have been listening to me, I've been saying that. To me, Alabama's, you know, biggest challenge will be, because I feel like our offense was struggling against teams like LSU and Auburn and whatnot. But the good news was neither of those teams really had good offensive football teams that could really give you a run for your money, right? This team, right, they have all that. They've got a really good, like, we were playing a bunch of teams this year in the SEC that had really good defense, but the offenses weren't capable. If South Carolina had a really capable offense, that game could have looked a lot different. If Missouri's offense was a lot more capable, that game could have looked a lot different. LSU, Auburn, that's four games that I would argue that those teams had really good defenses, but underachieving offense. This is not that type of team. And so that's why I don't think you want to go around and play around like that.
Well, dude, I can't wait. We probably won't speak until the New Year's, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you that Alabama wins by 10. I'm trying to get on the field.
Whoa, wait, Ricky, you said you think Alabama wins by 10?
I think so.
I like confidence. I hope so.
You get a little bit of rest. I think you needed that start for Oklahoma. Like, you had, I think all of that stuff that happened in Norman, you had to see it. Like, you had to kind of go through it. I think we fixed a lot of stuff. I think there's a lot of things we can do against IU that we couldn't necessarily do against that Oklahoma defense. I feel real good. So I'm going to take this by 10.
I like the confidence. I mean, I'm just looking at a team that I know their record's not nearly the same, but they went on the road and beat a top-ranked Oregon football team by 10 points in their own environment. And then most recently beat who was the previous number one ranked team, Ohio State, who I think is right there with Indiana in terms of being the most complete team, right, with everything they have. So, I mean, beating a team like that by 10, listen, if they beat Indiana by 10, you can go ahead and sign Alabama up to win the national championship. I think everybody's going to be jumping on that bandwagon. But, man, we'll break it down, though.
But that's what I got. Hey, man, happy holidays, and it was a great year, man. Thanks for everything.
Absolutely. No, thank you, man. I appreciate you always rocking with us. Always a pleasure talking to you, man. Happy holidays, and we'll talk soon, maybe in 2026. All right, we got to hit this top of the hour break. When we come back, we'll respond. We got Slade Bolden joining us. We'll chop it up. We'll talk some football. We got some tape. Getting you guys ready for this holiday season again. This Merry Christmas edition.
Your options for cancellation.
Call Wesley for your free exit info guide. 800-220-5757. That's 800-220-5757.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, Chris Perfect.
Early in the game in Detroit, Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver DK Metcalf was apparently involved in an altercation with a fan at Ford Field. The CBS broadcast managed to catch Metcalf talking to the fan and then shoving them after words were exchanged. Referees of the game did not catch the incident. The NFL has yet to weigh in on what is going to happen to the wide receiver. Chiefs quarterback Gardner Minshew is feared to have suffered a torn ACL in Sunday's tilt against the Tennessee Titans. Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson came out of his game on Sunday Night Football in the second quarter. Reports indicate he suffered a back bruise and he's now considered day-to-day. Quinshon Judkins, running back for the Cleveland Browns, faces a 4 to 5 month recovery.
Party or celebration? We've got you covered. Learn more about private party packages, hours of operation, and when Santa will be here at holidaysontheplaza.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Cloud lingered this afternoon, but it stays dry and mild, highs near 70. Tonight, turning partly cloudy, lows in the lower 50s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and warm, reaching the low to middle 70s. And your Christmas day stays dry with sunshine and highs in the mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Bill Murray on Tide 100.9.
It's 68 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
And knocked down again. It was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome back into this Christmas edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art sport experts. Hey, real quick, speaking of Christmas, and I don't think it's too late if you're around here. So if you need a last-minute gift and you got somebody that likes cigars, right? We know the Pastor Payne enjoys those, man. Check out R&R Cigars. They got the best humidor in the Southeast. They always are cutting great deals, by the way. Last week, they gave a discount to whoever was in the shop of, I guess, like the margin of victory for Alabama. So we won by 10 points. You got 10% off, man. That was on the spot, too, while he was on the show. So shout out to Reagan. But they've got over 160 bourbons in there. They've got TVs throughout. I know it's a little cold. Not today. It's actually pretty nice. But they've got the warmers outside so you can have a nice steak, a nice drink, and watch all the sports that you can imagine. So make sure you guys check them out. 2703 Gary Fitz Street here in Tuscaloosa, but you can always go to the website, rnrcigars.com. Place your order, use code Miller's Edge for a discount. Again, that is R&R Cigars, the official cigar provider of Alabama football since 2014. All right, we got our guy, Slim Slady, former Alabama wide receiver, Slade Bolden, joining us, man. He came on the back half of a very interesting conversation, and it was like guy Ricky, but anyway, he was talking about Alabama, and it goes back to one of our first calls. One of our callers was saying, oh, he got beat up for picking Oklahoma in this last matchup. And I just was telling him, I mean, 80% of the national media picked Oklahoma. And then I think if you look at how we've been playing offensively, going on the road, playing in Norman, like, there were some factors there that definitely were a cause concern. Our offense hadn't played great. So it went down this whole thing, and Ricky was, you know, trying to get some pushback. But that's our guy. But anyway, speaking of Oklahoma, Slade, I want to ask you, because we hadn't talked about it yet.
Yeah.
I mean, you watched that game. I mean, tell me what was going through your mind. Down 17 to nothing, bro. I mean, that's not a fun place to be at. Being down 17 to nothing, a playoff game, win or go home. I mean, that can you can speak on this as a former player. And granted, we hadn't had too many times probably in our careers playing here, being down like that. But
yeah,
there's been times we've been in some tough situations. So like for me, we went down on the road at Ole Miss. This was before you got here in 2016, and we were down like three scores before the half. And I just remember it was, man, it didn't look good. But we went into halftime, and best believe Coach Saban said some words. Then we had our alpha step up. They said some words. And we made a play before halftime to kind of get some juice. I think it was a punt return by Eddie Jackson, but came out second half, jumped on their ass, and then win the game. So, but I understand if you don't take the right approach, and it's already going in the second quarter, that – what did you take away from that performance outside of this, man, that was one hell of a comeback?
Yeah, I mean, I thought about texting you during the, you know, first quarter and a half or whatever, and I was like, well, I did that in SEC Championship. We ended up not coming back, so I'm just going to let this one ride out. But, I mean, to me, it was just like two complete different teams from the first quarter through the, you know, first half of the second quarter. And like you said, you know, you gave that example going down to Ole Miss. You know, being those teams, I felt like, or teams that you played with, I played with, we played together with, we were always, and Coach Saban, we did such a good job of adjusting in second half, you know, making second half adjustments and, you know, figuring out truly what we're doing wrong, what we're not picking up, and let's go attack. And, you know, let's sort of change something that we need to do to be successful. And that's one thing that I've kind of was obviously worried about until we started picking things up in the second quarter was, hey, if we continue to let this wound bleed, if we continue to, you know, let them, you know, have this momentum and even, you know, get more points, I felt like it was going to be extremely hard for us to come back. And somehow, I don't know. I mean, I know you do make game time adjustments, you know, during the game, but man, it looked like just a totally different team. And I obviously don't know. I'm not on the sidelines. You're on the sidelines. We don't know if somebody like a leader, an alpha, stepped up or, you know, Coach Womack or Coach Grubb or DeBoer, you know, made any adjustments on the sidelines. But, man, it was just a completely different team. I mean, at first we couldn't get a first down to save our lives. Mm-hmm. You know, even though we did get a stop on the first drive on defense, you know, they were still – moving the ball on us. And then, you know, I felt like we were just letting so many people wide open on defense and just letting them have good sustaining drives that we talk about, so important for all offense. And we just couldn't get anything going. Yeah. And, you know, I just felt like we were putting ourselves, what I was afraid of going into this game was the fact that Oklahoma is so dependent on their defense, but because we couldn't get these drives going, we were putting Oklahoma consistently in good field position. And, you know, we need to clean up the punt game. I feel like our punter's taking too much time with the ball in his hands. Mm-hmm. And obviously he's not punting well. But luckily for us, their special teams did not operate well. You know, we had two missed field goals from a guy who's been pretty much has been perfect all year. And we got that block punt from a drop from the punter. I mean, and that's another thing that I felt like we were still kind of just letting them hang around a little bit too long there because we were just rolling, you know, coming out party for Brooks. I mean, just what a player. We've always known. I felt like he's a great athlete, great receiver, but just kind of truly taken the initiative in the receiver group to make some big plays. I know he had, you know, three explosive plays, two touchdowns, and that was very impressive. But, you know, we get the muff punt, and we're right there, you know, going to score, and we have to kick a field goal. So now, instead of being maybe up 34 to maybe 17, I know they end up coming back and scoring again. You know, it'd been like, I think 38, I could be wrong on the numbers there. But, you know, you score there, you not only take advantage of the opportunity given to you. I mean, it was like, here you go, Merry Christmas, speaking right. of. And we got to go down and capitalize. And that's one thing that I think is so important is not only winning the turnover battle, but taking advantage of those turnovers. And yep. going in and scoring right there, it's going to be hard for even a good Oklahoma team at home to feel confident and like, hey, we still have a chance in this ball game, because one more play goes wrong and then you kind of knock the wind out of them. So I felt like it was closer than it should have been, but I didn't think both teams were going to score as many points as they did. I mean, we both said, yeah. I said 24-10, you said 24-17, something like that. Mm-hmm. Which they scored 17 quick, and I'm like, well, this might flip the way we were looking. But it was crazy. I mean, two completely different teams there, and but it was a great game. I felt like, you know, Mateer had all day in those first quarter and a half, and then the second half. Yeah, and second half, hey, man, they really applied a lot of pressure to Mateer. And, I mean, that just – you see what that causes, so much disruption. And yep. Because he was really coming out playing like how he did in the first of the season. And, you know, we were, I would say, pretty average on the O-line from a protection standpoint. Obviously, we gave up a few big sacks. One of us, you know, one of them in our, like, inside our own 10.
Yeah, especially early. Help.
Yeah, but, I mean – not the cleanest game, but I, at the end of the day, and that's one thing I felt like when we were playing, the teams we played with, you know, you're resilient. You know, you're always in the fight. No matter what, you're going to do whatever it takes to come back. And that shows that type of resiliency is, to me, the most positive thing coming out of this game, being able to go, you know, be down 17-0 in the first quarter and a half and make a comeback like that. So, That really, really brings a lot of positivity in my mind, just because nothing's going to go right in every game, especially when everything's on the line and we're about to play the number one team in the country. I'm not saying they've played a team like us, but they did beat Ohio State, who's yep. really good. So,
and went on the road and beat Oregon. They beat Oregon by 10 at Oregon.
Right.
I mean, that's why I'm like, I understand, you know, looking at their schedule and their strength of schedule is not nearly as tough. But if you go watch their competitive games, I mean, they're a good football team. They're really well coached. They do a lot on defense. Right. Of course, a lot of negative plays. They got a Heisman Trophy quarterback who does a really good job. And they run the football extremely well. I mean, they pretty much do everything really well. It might not be like elite necessarily, but I would take
flashy,
a team. Yeah, but I would take a team that's not like an A-plus in one area, then like a C and a B in others, or this B-plus, A-minus, A, like, you know what I mean? Like, they're very well balanced in that respect. But so you mentioned a lot, Sierra Brooks. So I want to get your thoughts real quick on that. You being a former receiver yourself, there's been a lot of talk with the wide receiver room, right? And I'm just going to say this. I mean, a lot of people kind of looking at Ryan Williams, who's, you know, touted as, you know, I know Jeremy Bernard is going to be our best receiver pound for pound right now. But you get what I'm saying. I mean, in terms of potential and everything from last
year. Coming into the year, for sure.
Coming into the year. I mean, there's a lot of expectations. But then you see a guy like Lott Sierra Brooks, a young player stepping up at the receiver position. What do you make of that? Because, I mean, you got some people saying, like, hey, man, like, Lott Sierra, and we compare the numbers. Ironically, even though Ryan he struggled with drops this season and had a quiet second half for sure, hadn't been targeted nearly as much, he's still the second leading receiver. He's got over 600 receiving yards. I think he had, four touchdowns on the year, something like that.
Yeah.
Brooks around 400 some yards, two touchdowns. Matter of fact, those were his first touchdowns in this past game against Oklahoma. How would you assess those two guys? And then I guess the second question, I know it's a tough question. Some people are even going as far as saying, like, hey, man, Lotzier might have not necessarily replaced Ryan, but kind of end up, you know, he's making a push for potentially replacing a guy like that. I mean, what do you make of that whole situation?
I mean, that's one thing. Brooks is a freshman, and we saw flashes of his talent early on in the year. And some guys, it takes a little longer to fully, I wouldn't say progress as a player, but mentally, right? You know, seeing the game and being comfortable and not having tunnel vision. I mean, I felt like it took me my whole career to get there. You know, it's some guys that are that gifted. Like when Ryan came in, he came in from the jump and was able to play at a high level. Obviously, he struggled. I feel like maybe some confidence in his hands. He's trying to catch everything with his body. And that's one thing I can go on about, just trying to get him the ball in other ways, you know, just to get his confidence back. But I can go in a spiral there. But, yeah, and I think with Brooks, and I want to I don't want to butcher his first name. Is it Lotsier?
I think Lotsier.
Brooks, 17.
There you go.
But, you know, he's shown flashes that he could be a really talented receiver, and he is very talented. And I think it's not necessarily, oh, I got to step up now because Ryan's not playing to his expectations. It's, you know, he's always been that type of player. But to me, when you compare the two, you know, how many targets has Ryan had all year? How many targets has Brooks had all year? I think that's one thing that always kind of baffled me when it comes to, you know, guys getting ready for the draft and how scouts, you know, I guess, view these players and did their evaluations. It's like, okay, what is your production with the targets you've had? You know, what are you doing when you do get a target? What are you doing when you do have the ball in your hands? And obviously, Brooks has shown that when he does get the opportunity, he is taking full advantage of it. And that's all you can ask from a team that's talented across the board. It's not necessarily next man up because there are really no injuries. I might have to really step up in the receiver room, but it's now that the opportunities are coming to me, what am I going to do with those opportunities? And obviously he's proved that he can take advantage of it. So it was, obviously he came up big. I mean, we needed him, and it was very exciting. I liked him a lot.
Yeah, no, he's definitely special. And there was a lot of people kind of even going as far as saying, oh, they need to deduct a little NIL money from maybe this pocket and maybe put a little bit in this pocket. I'm like, listen, I ain't trying to get into the pocket watching game, but I'm like, from a TM standpoint, I'm sure they do probably, they look at stuff. But I still am confident that Ryan's going to be able to bounce back and find his footing again. I mean, listen, I truly think, and it goes back to what I've been talking about. I know you mentioned it too, but like just the fundamental stuff. I mean, real quick before we hit this first time out, when you watch Ryan, I know we turned on the SEC championship game. We watched some tape of him running some routes.
Right.
Let me ask you about him catching the football. You're a former receiver, so you speak on this. In terms of his catching ability or his technique, right?
Right.
A lot of times it feels like he's using his body to catch a football. He's not using, you know, his hands. Let's just keep it simple. You can probably go into detail on the technique with all that. But have you noticed that? Do you think that is? There's truth to that? Like maybe part of the reason he's dealing with all these drops right now is because the technique he's leaning into, using his body much more than his hands. And if so, is that just something, is that a tendency that's easy to overcome as a receiver? Is that something, just a matter of, hey, he just needs to get on the jugs more? How does a receiver go about cleaning that part of his game up?
To get super technical, C-Mail, I feel like even at the beginning of the year when he was, you know, he had those drops in Florida State, but he was still playing pretty well. We're like, okay, like he's good, he's back. But anything, I felt like from like the chest up, he's here, you know, his hands aren't, everything, and I'll say this, even when I work with guys, I prided myself in my hands. I didn't have a whole lot of ability. I didn't have Ryan's ability. I was quick, but I could feel like I could catch everything, you know, because, hey, if I was going to get an opportunity, I better catch it. But you can't let the ball get into your body, right? You got to have strong hands. But I always say and preach, and I learned this from Coach Wiggins, and, yeah, obviously the ball, you're catching it with your hands, right? You want to catch where the ball starts becoming fat there towards the middle. You want to catch that first part. Like you're eating a hamburger. That's how you want your hands. You know, they always teach the diamond and pinky, you know, when it's lower, below your waist, it gets a little trickier. But I felt like the best way to describe it is, and Coach Wiggins would always preach this, you catch the ball with your eyes. You got to see it. You got to see it coming out of the quarterback's hand. You got to get on it, and then you attack it, right? You attack it out of the air, catch it out in front of your body. Don't let it get into your framework. And that's one thing I feel like anything chest high or really, you know, waistline high, you struggle with, because I guess he's just not trusting in his hands or his ability to see the ball. I mean, maybe he needs contact. I don't know. You know, that some guys don't realize that hey, my vision isn't good. Sometimes I would not see a ball, but I felt like confidence is really the issue here. I think because there were times where in practice or in a game, and I would be like, how the hell I catch that ball? You know, because it becomes so natural, be so confident in your hands and your hand-eye coordination. And look, we can go back from the beginning that we talked about before, just all the expectation and pressure and just being like the most well-known, famous college player in the country. It is tough, you know, and once you start, you know, having drops, you're not playing to the expectation, you're getting tweeted at, you're getting ridiculed, you're getting DMs, oh, he might be getting letters, I don't know. That can play mentally in a young guy's mind. You know, if you can't, sometimes some guys don't do a good job blocking out the noise. And I mean, I've been there. I'm sure you've been there, C-Mill. Like, just you got fans, and it is what it is. It comes with the territory, and you got to know that and embrace it and not let it affect you. But I really think it's a confidence issue. But yeah, if I was him, man, I would just get with. You only have to get with Ty, because Ty's probably throwing a lot of balls in practice. Just get with somebody, one of the backup quarterbacks. Because I always felt like, yeah, you can sit there on the jugs, and I used to do them. I used to catch, like, you know, Smitty, like 100 balls after practice, right? But I learned when I got to the next level, catching a jug is a lot different from catching out of a quarterback's hand. And where are you going to catch a ball in the game in practice? Out of a quarterback's hand. So me and actually Mac Hollins, in Atlanta, we were throwing at each other, but we would 10, you know, 10 to the side on each side, 10 low on each side, you know, one hand. We'd just work on seeing it coming out of a hand, because that spin is different. So I would encourage him, not that he's going to listen to what I got to say, but to get with the quarterback or get with Jeremy or get with Isaiah Horton and Brooks or whoever, you know, just consistently throw with each other. And then also, what we did with Wiggins, you know, we were working on fighting through contact, and I'm sure they're hitting this in you know, individual drills, but
they're catching rugby footballs. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I've seen them catch rugby footballs. I know tennis balls, working on hand-eye coordination, but I don't know if you've ever experienced that or what your thoughts were on that, but I remember watching them catch like everything but a football, and I was like,
right. I don't exactly. I'm a little old school, I guess. And you know, I've had some more old school coaches. Man, it's just like the way you do one thing is the way you do everything. And I feel like if you're going to be a complete receiver, the best way, you can work on your speed, your quickness, you do the drills, but you know how you're going to be a better route runner? You run routes. You know how you're going to catch the ball better? You catch the ball. And I'm talking a football out of a quarterback's hand, because that is we want to train like we play. So whatever correlates to the game, that's how you're supposed to train. Because then, you know, everybody's got these little flashy Instagram techniques. Yeah, that's all cool and all and sweet. But once somebody gets in your face and bullets are flying, it ain't so sweet anymore. So I think, and I can get fired up about that, because I just, some of the stuff's ridiculous. And,
oh no, it's bad.
Jim Short's Olympics, but
yeah. Listen, I don't even want to say dude's name. I mean, but like that one dude, I don't even know if he really played outside of like high school or whatnot. But he like, listen, and I get it. I mean, training these guys, I'm sure some of that technique works. But I remember he's working with Leggett in Carolina. Oh, yeah. And I'm like,
to my glove feet or whatever.
Yeah, something like a right route guy. I mean, shout out to him doing his thing.
There's 10 of them.
Yeah, and I think Calvin was like speaking highly on one of those guys about like the technique they get from it. I'm sure like there's some things, but I remember some of these releases they're working. Again, I don't want a receiver, but at the same time, I've watched enough receivers to know, I'm like, bro, you're doing all that dance on the line of scrimmage, brother. This pass rush. I mean, you got to get into the route at some point.
Timing,
right? It's timing. You can't sit there crossing over, you know, going behind your feet or behind the. I'm like, what is all this, man?
Yeah,
like,
I never understood that. It's funny. I remember the most last time I said something about that, I remember watching Mac when he was Jaguars play the Titans. And obviously, Brian Thomas, great receiver, all the talent in the world. But when he took 10 seconds at the line of scrimmage to run a three-step slant route and Mac got hit, it was incomplete. I was like, bro, it's exactly what I'm talking about. Like, you can't do that. And that's just one example of many. But, yeah, all those things all come together. But he's got to figure out something. And obviously not let it get to his head, because I'm sure it is.
100%. It's hard not to when you're under a microscope like he is. I mean, he arguably, like you said, one of the most well-known college athletes in the country. We got to hit a quick timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling.
Fingers and pints of our famous house-made sauces. Please any crowd with the easiest party upgrade of the season. Order at foosackleys.net or the Foo app.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Cloud lingered this afternoon, but it stays dry and mild. Highs near 70. Tonight, turning partly cloudy, lows in the lower 50s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and warm, reaching the low to middle 70s. And your Christmas day stays dry with sunshine and highs in the mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Bill Murray on Tide 100.9.
It's 67 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. We got some good conversations going with former Alabama wide receiver Slade Bolden. Got his thoughts on the Alabama-Oklahoma matchup. We talked about that. And got his receiver perspective, being a former receiver here at Alabama, on, you know, some of the things going on in the receiver room, right, especially with Ryan Williams. There's a lot of questions there, just kind of, you know, what can he be doing to try to get back on track? And Slade offered a number of things that he thought could be beneficial. And you know, it's interesting. Somebody in the chat actually said they heard somebody else mention that maybe he could consider contacts, which first time hearing that, you might giggle, right? Like, we really need contacts. You know, play around. Oh, what are the refs looking at? They need some glasses. But, like, all seriousness, like, that could be something. I know. I'll tell you one thing. I don't have great vision. And you know what's crazy now that I'm thinking about it? I've always had bad hands, and I'm not making excuses, and that's probably why I play defense. I'm telling you, I think my vision does play a role, because I'm nearsighted in one eye and I'm farsighted in the other. So, like, if I close one eye and the other like that, like, it makes literally the objects kind of look like closer, further. Maybe everybody's like that. I don't think they are, though. And not to mention, my left eye is like 20/100. Like, my left eye is terrible. My right eye does all the seeing for me, so... I don't know. But real quick, Slade, there are a couple of questions in here. You talked about, like, the different football, or not football, different balls at practice. I agree with you. I'm almost kind of like, maybe some off-season type deal if you're working on hand-eye coordination. But like you said, at football practice, to me, I'm like, man, like, quarterback, receiver connection, regular football, that's what we're going to be catching the game. Let's just stick to that. But have you heard of the new glasses that – And you know Jeff Allen and Jeremy and everybody as well as I do. They always are being innovative. They're always willing to try the latest and greatest technology, especially when it comes to enhancements. There's these glasses, Slade, that Holly Rowe had been advertising, but showing, you know, with Jeff Allen, they flash like the, I don't know. Have you experienced these glasses? Or even if you haven't, what are your thoughts on that as a receiver? Because I thought it was, I was like, all right, that's just, we're doing a little much.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a video on Twitter or X of Jeff doing that or talking about it. I guess I didn't pay enough attention, but so what are they trying to say? Is it kind of like the drunk goggles that we used to try on when we were kids, or is it like more, is it blacking out certain?
I think it might have been the way the camera was picking up, but the way it looked was, it looked like it was like flashing black. So you were literally like they throw the football and you see it, and then it flashes black. Next thing you know, it's like right there in front of you. So to me, it looked like it's weird. Probably stressed me out.
I mean, that's all cool and cute and all. If you're at that, you know, someone like a defender's hand, that's like, you know, kind of a distraction drill essentially that we used to work on. But I'm not really worried about Ryan catching the ball in distractions. I'm worried about him catching the ball in general. So like, hey, let's do that first without any contact, without any distractions or hands or whatever. Let's just work it on the fundamentals, because I can see obviously how that is beneficial. I think it would be huge. I mean, I know I would put it on. I'd have tried everything to try to, you know, help my hands. So I love that. But I think there's a way about going things. And sometimes, like, just getting back to the basics is really just the most important, especially when you're struggling with the basics. So, yeah, that's all good and all. But, I obviously don't know. I've never used them. We got a video right here.
Yeah, so it's a picture. There is a video. I got to find it, though. But that's what they look like. And then, I guess, that's not a good, but basically it'll flash. Let me find another one. But it literally flashes like black and then shows back up black. Like, I don't know. To me, I'm with you, though. I'm just more about let's do things that actually, and listen, we're not trying to sit here and act like we know better than these coaches or whatever. We're just offering our opinion. That's all this is.
Yeah.
Before people try to call us, oh, y'all are washed up Coach Saban players. Hey, now let them do. No. We're just, people are asking in the chat and we're just offering y'all's opinion. I don't have advice on the glass because I've never used anything like that. But on defense, I'm with you. Like, to me, the drills in the training that I found most appropriate and most effective in terms of applying it to me, actually going out there and having better pass rush, setting a better edge, literally was, we used to do a striking drill where we used to work lock peak shed. We jack that sled up, right? Physically jack it up. We lock out, work on our extension, our peaking, right? To train ourselves, eye discipline, peaking in our gaps and violently shedding it. That literally was simulating or emulating having a guy right there in front of you. Or we'd even do it with each other sometimes. We'd jack each other up. Or like even pass rush, get off, right? Get off.
Time and time again. Yeah, it's like, what's translating, right? And
exactly.
Like, can you wear these with a helmet on? Can you wear these, you know, because if you have pads on, I'm assuming you have your helmet. Can you wear them with your helmet? Because all of that, that's real game. Like, I'll say the one thing that I would always do, like if it was raining at practice or it was, you know, I had probably spit or something, you know, on my shield, I wouldn't wipe it off in practice because I'm like, okay, let me use this to my advantage to kind of, you know, it's pretty much correlate to this type of deal. But I mean, if you're just sitting there and we're playing catch and you're wearing these glasses with your pads off, that's not, I don't know if they're running routes with them. Obviously, like you said, we're not trying to be just old heads here. We are just, I am curious kind of how this translates. Yeah, I am. Yeah. I mean, I know the hardest time I had catching the ball in practice was not anything that I was putting on my head, putting on my body. I had an AC joint separated, and I could barely lift my arm. So every time, and I probably sound like, you know, B-I-T-C-H, but every time a ball came, I had to stretch out, and it just, pain would just go down my shoulder. But it was like, hey, if I don't practice, I'm not going to play, or I'm not going to get the opportunities to play as much as I normally would. So I'm going to go out there and practice. I can practice, tape it up. Didn't, you know, we didn't shoot up in practice. But, hey, that ball's out of reach, but I can catch it. I'm going to go get it, and it's going to hurt. That type of stuff, that I think those type of things is what truly makes you a better overall player from a mental and a physical standpoint. But like we said, I don't know how they're using these efficiently, but it is cool, I guess. I mean, it's different, but I mean, we could just put the drunk goggles on. I guess this worked just as well. Or, hey, let's just tape up one eye. I don't know. We ain't got to buy these $1,000 glasses.
I mean, there's a number of things. I'll save this for the audio for when we go on a break real quick. That way we, but basically, you see what I'm doing.
Yeah.
It flashes, okay, it flickers like that. And that's, I guess. Listen, I
epilepsy looking through them bad boys.
Yeah. Dang. Seriously. And I'll be the first one to say, listen, I said this already, but I'll say it again. Jeff, Jeremy, all they listen, they're the best in the business when it comes to athletics.
Yeah, 100%.
Matter of fact, Jeremy's in charge of like the innovation piece of going out there. Because all these companies, they send Alabama this stuff. It's not necessarily that Alabama's always seeking these spy kids, gadgets and stuff like that to enhance training. A lot of people, they send things to the University of Alabama because they're new products. They're trying to, you know, push their product in this. Why not get the approval of the University of Alabama? That said, that's where a lot of the stuff comes from. And to be fair, I don't think they use these like Everest. It's not like, all right, it's that time of Indy. Put your glasses on. You know what I mean? Everybody does. I think it's just like, hey, after practice, maybe let's work on, let's get 5-10 minutes of throwing in with the glasses to work on our hand-eye coordination, our reaction time, whatever. Which, again, that part is normal. Like in the training room, we used to use virtual reality. People probably think this is a joke. But before VR got really big, right, like how it is now, back in 2015, 2016, when VR was new, we were implementing virtual reality headsets for athletic training purposes and for rehab purposes. Like we used to, remember, we used to play games on the VR. You could balance on a medicine ball to work on your ankle support, right? Work on strengthening your ankles after an ankle injury while playing like Frogger with virtual reality. That's like a quarterback or something.
My grandparents got a picture of me on my official visit, and I got, you know, the virtual glasses on with the controls in my hand. And I remember like going, wow, this, you know, this is crazy. I never seen anything like it. But, you know, and that's like you said, you know, people, you know, companies, these new innovative things, they send us, you know, to try to test them out. And, you know, Jeff and Jeremy do what they do best and see if it does translate. So obviously, like you said, we trust their judgment and what they're going to do. But, you know, from the outside looking in, it's, I don't know. I don't know if this is going to be a true game changer, but hey, they're probably still testing it, seeing if it's even worth a shot.
100%. Am I? Yeah, again. Hey, we're answering questions from the chat. I hate we even have to say that, but nowadays, you got some of our former teammates, they hop on the media, they say something, they come off bitter or whatever. Like, no. It's all love. I mean, we're literally just answering questions. All right, let's hit this time out. We come back, we keep on rolling.
Call 800-836-3388. 800-836-3388. Again, that's 800-836-3388.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Cloud clear this afternoon, but it stays dry and mild, highs near 70. Tonight, turning partly cloudy, lows in the lower 50s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and warm, reaching the low to middle 70s. And your Christmas day stays dry with sunshine and highs in the mid 70s. I'm meteorologist Bill Murray on Tide 100.9.
It's 67 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into this Talking Tuesday, Merry Christmas edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. We're joined by Slim Slady. We're chopping it up. We're just talking a little bit about some of the new tech that Alabama's been experimenting with. You guys were asking our opinions on it, so that's why we gave it to you. We're not bitter former players. Don't worry. We're just answering questions
for
about
the most part.
unless Slade is having a cocktail or two, and we get the break beat off busted Atlanta. I think that was the criticism was pretty warranted. Yeah, I think
yeah, the first 14 minutes of the Oklahoma game too, or however long it was. Yeah.
Well, the good news is there's no tweets put out. A lot of people had to go back and walk back tweets. I mean, there's so many people in the national media like that jumped the gun, and they should know better. I mean, football, maybe they don't, but anybody that's played the game knows a football game is a 60-minute game. And even though we might have been having thoughts and thinking things like, bro, like, what are we doing, man? Like we're about to get – we also know, like, hey, man, it's a 60-minute ball game. And thank God, you know, these guys in this football team, that coaching staff, they don't think like that, because if they had that mentality – you wouldn't have seen a comeback like that. But they kept chomping at the bit, man. They kept their focus. They capitalized on the opportunities that came up, presented themselves. And going into halftime, Slade, I'll be honest with you, I felt at that point, the fact that it was back to what we call a 0-0 game, like you basically could just scrap the first half. All that matters is the remaining 30 minutes. We all know that, right? Because the score's tied up. We were getting the football, had some momentum. I felt really confident at that point. But one of the big pieces to that comeback, real quick, to jump back into it real quick before we talk a little bit about Indiana Slade. Ty Simpson. Ty Simpson and his performance. What'd you make out of that? Because I'll be honest, I think it was one of his better games that we've seen in the last, like I was talking with Ricky, our offense hadn't looked great over the past, four or five games. I think that was probably his best performance since maybe, I don't know. But in the second half of the season, he hadn't played that well in quite some time. Yeah. And I know it started rough. We talked about that first quarter. 12 yards total, no first down, something like that, sacked several times. But then to see that grit finally hitting on some of those deep shots, you mentioned Lancia Brooks, Isaiah Horton. I mean, that back shoulder on their sideline was a beautiful throw, beautiful catch. Jeremy Bernard coming up with the Tyrone bro throw type catch.
Yeah, head top.
Yeah, I mean, what'd you make of Ty Simpson's performance in that comeback that he led? But then also just the resurgence of the explosives through the air and the passing that we haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah, you hit it. I mean, that's one thing. I feel like Ty's best attribute, which you kind of have to be as a quarterback, I feel like even throughout all the games, he does do a good job of staying pretty composed when things aren't going right. And then you have to. And I think what he struggled with, even though he may have been composed, is still trying to force throws and he's not trusting his ability as much. But I felt like he truly trusted his ability this game, you know, whether it was making those deep throws. I know he missed one with Jeremy, which, you know, would have been a huge play and another take or another situation where we could probably put the, you know, a nail in the coffin essentially. But I felt like he just stayed calm, stayed composed. You know, he got beat up a little bit back there. And I think just trusting his ability, you know, made some plays with his feet, making plays out of the pocket. And, and at first, nothing was going right. It just seemed like everything was going wrong for us. We did have some, some nice breaks there with some penalties, some field goals, turnover, or a couple of turnovers. But I think what he did so well was just staying calm, composed, and not letting the moment get too big for him, and just playing his game and making those throws that we all know he can make. Other than that, maybe that one deep shot, but. Other than that, I thought he did a great job of staying calm and composed and trusting his ability, which is what we needed.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. I mean, you hit it. I mean, we had to have that. I mean, when you go down 17-0, I mean, it literally is one of those things that, without a doubt, I mean, if you don't have the belief in yourself, man, you're about as good as gone. But that was really, really, really impressive for sure. Reed, do we have a caller still waiting? I was about to say, I know we took one last time with Slade. I feel bad if people are still waiting on there. Is there anybody still hanging on there? Or they give it up, which I wouldn't blame them.
Yeah. Well, I get to talking, you know. I can.
No. It's not you. No. Okay. Good.
Can get to talking.
Yeah. No. I was about to say. I don't think they're hanging on.
Christian,
anymore.
I was going to say, Robbie did ask a question earlier when he was on the phone lines, kind of both for you and Slade, asking, you know, during that layoff of, you know, the Christmas break, and, you know, you're wanting to be with family, the holiday kind of spirit. How did y'all both kind of stay locked in and focused?
Well, I'll just say real quick, for us, the way it always worked was we would have to return. We'd have a few days off. Like, so say maybe today through like Christmas Day. And the but Christmas Day, we would have to come back. So like we would be traveling back on Christmas Day because we would leave out the day after. So that said, look, I always think it's important to continue to be locked in, but at the same time, you need a break. You need a reset. Mm-hmm. And I think the reality is people, you know, look at football players and coaches, and I understand it's like they think it's just everything's football, football, football. But at the end of the day, you have to, like, we have lives outside of it, right? I mean, guys have families, you know, parents, grandparents, nieces, nobody they want to visit. And I mean, the reality is we never got to celebrate Christmas and all these things the way most people did. So you had to do it the best that you could and while you could. So I would just take a couple of days for me, like when we'd have time off like this. And sometimes I would sneak out and go hunting real quick. I just say it like that. I mean, I just, you know, go hunt real quick. Like we get done with practice early, say we got done at noon and maybe we'd have an afternoon. I'd free. I'd go sit in a stand, you know, do something I enjoy, spend some time outdoors. Because to me, I'm like, it's okay to take a few hours, even a day or so, to get away from football, but just take a peek or something, like in the stand. Hell, I'd be watching football on my phone in the stand, right? It's a nice shooting house. Or like, hell, just, you know, skim through the playbook or something like that just for a couple minutes. But make sure you take some time away to reset and give yourself a break. Because, I mean, you know, mental health is important. Everybody can get burned out and exhausted, especially with football as demanding and as taxing as it is, not just physically, but mentally, man. Yeah. So I think it's important to take a break, but then, you know, don't remove yourself. Like, hell, don't fly to Miami for a night and go, you know, do something crazy. Now, I ain't gonna lie, we might have had a couple.
We didn't have that kind of money.
We didn't have that kind of money. We didn't have that kind of money. But I've seen a couple of teammates have some fun. Not during the Christmas breaks, but some of these summer breaks that we had. I'm like, hold on. When he go down there? I'm like, what?
Right.
I ain't gonna lie. There's one story. I ain't saying no names, but there was one time we had one dude, man. He spent the weekend. He went out of town for the weekend, and he flew back in like literally like right before like running. Remember, because we used to run, you know, like 6:30 in the morning. Now it's a little bit different. The dude like literally was coming back into town like going into workouts. Yeah, I'm talking about a whole, we were running 110s, bro. He was throwing up like every 110, bro. Every 110, he was sick. And I was like, damn, was worth it though. I mean, it sounded like a fun little excursion. But anything that you used to do to stay locked in, Slade?
Well, it's funny you mentioned Miami when we played Oklahoma. That was I think it was the only time I ever played Oklahoma. You know, my freshman year in 2018, played them in Miami. In the Orange Bowl, and you remember the little stipend cards we get, or like,
oh yeah, the travel card,
the little Visa cards.
I remember
there was only so many places, and I'm not going to tell you why I got the cash, but you go to Miami, you can probably guess, but there was only a couple places that you could use those Visa cards to get cash out. Now they tax you a little bit, but I mean it was like 3%. I remember we had. Maybe it was from the year before. I think I was, for some reason, they gave me some of the Visa cards from when y'all won. Because like, if you win, the Visa cards go to the ring, but you still get some money back. I can't remember how. I had like two or three of them that were like $300. And I went, I think Publix maybe, or one of the. And I remember just like having, you know, like $900 bills, thought I was something. Now, that's probably just an average day for some of these guys. So, but I honestly don't remember being able to go home when we would be, because obviously it was a different setup when we were playing. If we were playing in the national championship, it was, you know, always on the 10th, right? January the 10th. Mm-hmm. I really don't remember having a chance to go home a few days. And maybe we had a few days off.
I don't think so.
I'm trying to remember. Because I know the only time I was home for Christmas during my career was when we played in the Citrus Bowl in 2019. So we had that, you know, we had Christmas off, but I really don't remember being able to go home. So you say doing things to stay locked in. I mean, other than, you know, going back to the crib, I don't remember much. We may have had a couple of days, but right, you know, like you said, we always missed Christmas. But man, that was the whole point of it, right? That was, hey, like, we're used to this. Like, we're not supposed to be at home. Like, we don't want to be home right now.
What we signed up for.
Yeah, like, look, love my family to death. I know you do too. We love to spend Christmas with them. But if it meant
on a mission.
Yeah, look, hey, love my Lord and Savior too. I know it's his birthday, but hey, he blessed me with this ability, and I'm using this ability the best of my ability. So if that means I gotta celebrate Christmas in a different way than it's meant to be. So I think when I was home in 2019, I was kind of pissed a little bit. I was happy to be with my family, but I wanted to be practicing for a national championship, you know. So I think that culture too had a lot to do with it, because this is just what we're signed up for. This is what we want to sign up for. And we're here now. This is just a part of the journey. So I think, yeah, like you said, it is important to take some time off. I didn't learn that till I got older, you know, whether it was from training or you know, studying too much or watching too much film. I didn't learn till I got older. It always felt like if I didn't do the extra thing, I didn't do every little thing, that I was going to be at my best.
Yeah.
But sometimes you have to, because you got to let your body recover. You got to let your mind recover. You know, you got to take a break. So I didn't learn that till I got older. But the only time I'd really, you know, let loose was after the games. And it was like, I got 1 night a week.
I always said that was kind of like I didn't really do much in college in terms of like going out or anything. But after the games, I'd always have a little celebratory cocktail, whatever you want to call it, go by you know, a bar or so with everybody else in the street real quick.
Yeah.
So yeah. Anyway,
it wasn't real quick for me. I was I was enjoying it, because I knew, hey, this is my only night. And that's one thing, like, whether just to kind of this, you know, going different.
Stop, they told me that, man. You had
my bad.
You
got, I got that clip I was about to pot up.
Well, I'll be quick. It's fun. You know, there are obviously some weekends, some nights I, you know, probably should have kept my butt in bed. But I'm like, the amount of hours and time we spent during the week. The grind, like you said, like,
what is the amount of this week? I got to leave game, a little bit.
This game, this game in college to me is 80% mental, and it almost becomes 90% when you get to the league. You do all that. You practice for 2.5 hours. You worked out for an hour, you know, during the day. This is like a Tuesday, right? But you still had school in the morning, and then you had maybe study hall, and then, okay, I got to finish some homework. That is a lot on a guy. And I didn't, like, I know a lot of guys smoke. I never smoked, so it never really, like, that wasn't my thing. I didn't play the game either. So I think, you know, during the week, I may watch a movie or go to my buddy's house and we, you know, get some dinner or whatever. But
watch a fight, watch a UFC fight over with Keaton and Womack and Pettibone.
Right. Yeah. Like if something was going on, we'd all get together. But, you know, just a normal week, like you don't have time. I mean, I think maybe my senior year, I'd pour a little glass of wine or something some nights and just chill at the crib. But I mean, once we got to Saturday, all week, so many hours put in, like, it's almost like you needed it. Now, I know I did probably a little too much at times, but I'm telling you, like, it was something. And I'm a social guy. Like, I like to be around people. I like to be out and about and having fun. So that was just – everybody's got their – I wouldn't even call it vices, because I do the same. Biggest vice is prayer, right? That, if you're ever going through anything, pray. That's my greatest advice for vices. But – there were times where my vice was, hey, I'm going to go and have some drinks, maybe more than a few, and I'm going to enjoy this night, because I know come tomorrow, I got a lot back in, and it's business.
Yeah. I mean, I think people understand that, even just working. You know, everybody's looking forward to the weekend so they can enjoy their nice glass of wine. They've been sitting at a desk or doing whatever.
Right.
Real quick before we get out of here, speaking of some former players and offering their opinions. Well, Mark Ingram was one of those guys that didn't feel Alabama necessarily should have been in the playoffs, but I guess he had Coach DeBoer on his podcast and was offering an apology. That's what he had to say.
That offer was different.
When our producers reached out, they told me that, man, you had some requirements for me, man. What'd you say I had to do, man, in order for you to get on the show?
Maybe apologize for questioning whether we should be in the playoffs. Is that what they
said? Yes.
Okay, Mark.
hey, but listen. I was throwing the rat poison out there, and clearly y'all heard me, because we went out to Norman and we did the job, and we gonna do the job again in a few weeks. So, you know, I go harder for Bama than anybody in the nation. I go harder for you than anybody in the nation. And
I
feel like we left our destiny in the committee's hands? Yes, I did. But at the end of the day, I root for Bama. I want Bama in the playoff. I want Bama to win the natty. I want Bama to ball every single time we on the field. So I do apologize. And you know, I'm the ultimate King Gump. They crown me King Gump because I don't want Bama to anybody else. So
here's the thing. You come back all the time. You help us. Like, I know where the loyalty's at and I know where the love's at. And so you're saying how it was. And we didn't play very good, you know, in that game. And so
I was about to say, he is kind of walking back what he said. Low key, he's walking back. But it's good. You know, it's all good. I don't blame him. All right, we got to get out of here. Slade, I appreciate you jumping on and hanging out with us, man. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you and your family, man. And look forward to talking soon, probably next week as we get ready for this Rose Bowl coming up, brother.
Yes, sir. Sounds good. Merry Christmas to you and the family as well, brother. And Merry Christmas to all Gump and Tide Nation, baby. Let's wrap this thing up with a natty, huh?
Got to. That'd be the ultimate way to start 2026. Big thanks to all our listeners. Big thanks to Reed, Chase, and all our other producers behind the glass. Seriously, hope you guys have a Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. And again, we'll be back next week because we're off the rest of the week. So we will see you guys Monday right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC.
You've been listening to